How's it going, everybody? Welcome to the Power for Living podcast series brought to you by Christ the King Church in Wakefield, Massachusetts. Kick back, relax for the next 20 to 25 minutes, and let's begin.
In 1 Peter 4, 17 to 18, Peter sounds the warning bell for the church. It's a wake-up call for every Christian that should give us all reason to pray for revival. Peter writes, "For the time has come for judgment to begin at the house of God. And if it begins with us first, what will be the end of those who do not obey the gospel of God? Now if the righteous one is scarcely saved, where will the ungodly and the sinner appear?" Folks, this is a serious passage. This passage says that any judgment begins with God's people first. Nations may rise and fall and see unbridled corruption at their core. Wickedness may run rampant. Evil may be spreading like wildfire. Yet Peter is warning us that, as in the days of ancient Israel, any judgment on the nation will begin with God's people. The reason is this: God's people are supposed to be the conscience of the nation. We're the ones who have the truth. So if the church isn't doing its job by compromise with sin or by failing to proclaim the gospel, then God holds us accountable first. Think about it. If a church is playing with sin, that trashes the Lord's name. If a church is engaged in hypocrisy by failing to deal with the sin in the pews, then that church is putting a black mark on the reputation of the kingdom of God. However, there is a positive way to look at this. And yes, there is the sincere warning. Yet, there is a positive side. Rather than seeing this as only a stark warning of judgment, we can also see this as a beautiful invitation from the Lord, inviting us to walk with Him in a beautiful covenantal relationship. As in the days of old, through the Old Testament prophets, He's calling us to faithfulness and blessing, if we live His way. One of those ways to be faithful is to pray according to His will for His kingdom to be real in the here and the now. What this is about is a biblical defense for asking God to restore His church. Or in other words, the subject here is the Bible's solid case for revival prayer. In Isaiah 6, we see what happens when God breaks in and reveals His glory. The seraphim flew overhead, thundering the song, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory." In response to the seraphim's thunderous proclamation of God's holiness, the stone pillars of the temple shook at the sound. When confronted with the glory of the Lord, remember that Isaiah cried out, "Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." God's holiness and glory appeared before Isaiah. God's Spirit is moving, and Isaiah is brought to repentance and greater dedication. The glory of heaven was present on earth at that moment. In short, this is what happens when a real revival touches a church. Revival is a sovereign move of God in which He reveals His holiness and His glory to those who are really seeking Him. This is an important distinction. When we're praying for a fresh revelation from the Lord, we're to seek Him, not the experience. This is very much related to what Mark Batterson said in his book, The Circle Maker. He said, "When I sought answers, I found none. When I sought Him, I got the answers too." So we enter into a time of extraordinary prayer for revival in the church. We seek Christ first, not the experience. Even so, there's an order to what happens if we're to pray for a fresh outpouring. First, He begins to call on His people to pray by revealing the need in His church. Our responsibility then is to respond to that call and to pray. We humble ourselves and admit our sinfulness and our need for more of Him. When we respond in obedience to His call, and when He sees we're hungry for more of Him, He responds and gives us a taste of His holy glory. What does He show us? He shows us more of Himself. Like Isaiah's experience, this brings repentance. And when that happens, whole towns change, and even states and nations can change. Duncan Campbell said about the Hebrides revival, God makes a town God-conscious. Stephen Olford wrote that revival in the church shows God's presence and communities become saturated with the presence of God. Martin Lloyd-Jones said very succinctly that revival is days of heaven on earth. Churches see the manifest presence of the glory of the Lord. There is an air of excitement in the town surrounding a church where revival is taking place. The things taking place in the churches suddenly become the talk of the town. God's holiness fills the church. People are healed. Lives are put back together. Families are reconciled. And the greatest miracles of all happen. The backslidden are restored and souls are gloriously saved. Here's the connection to how and why we can rightly pray for revival. Since revival is an outpouring of God's holy glory on earth, we can ask Him for this outpouring in obedience to His directions. We can also say to pray for revival is an act of obedience because of what the Lord Himself told us to pray in the Lord's Prayer. In Matthew 6, verse 10, Jesus tells us to pray, Your kingdom come, Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Jesus Himself told us to pray that our Heavenly Father's will must be done on earth as it is in heaven. So what's happening in heaven? In Revelation chapters 4, 5, 7, and 11, and others, the Apostle John wrote of the 24 elders, the angels, the martyrs, and multitudes of saints who have gone before. They're standing before the throne proclaiming praises to the Lord. They're bathing in the presence of God. The reality of heaven is absolutely glorious. Now, because Martin Lloyd-Jones told us that revival in the church brings about a taste of God's glory and is indeed days of heaven on earth, and since Jesus told us to pray for God's will to be done on earth as it is in heaven, shouldn't we be praying for revival, which is His kingdom glory made visible and real right here and right now? Peter sounded the first clarion call in 1 Peter 4, 7, where he told us that the end of all things is near. So he says to be ready for the end of all things, because it could come for us personally at any moment. But then he gives us that passage in verses 17 and 18. The time has come for judgment to begin with the household of God. So folks, if that's scripture truth, and it is, then we need to know that if judgment comes to a nation, it's going to come first to the church. And if that is so, then we need to hear the call of the Lord, to listen to His voice, and to pray that His will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And what that means is we pray for revival in His church. We pray for His church to become obedient and alive. And that's the way His will be done, is with an alive church. And again, that means praying for revival. So let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to You and we ask You to pour out Your Holy Spirit on us right now. Bathe us in Your glory and in Your passionate presence so we will respond correctly and appropriately and fall down on our knees and repent of those things that are keeping us from our level of obedience that You've called us to. Make us obedient saints, Lord, so we will have a burden for the lost and desire to share Your glory and Your message and the truth of the gospel with others. But revive our hearts and revive our churches so we can proclaim the kingdom of God to others. And when we do that, that's when revival will come. Your kingdom come, Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And it is in Christ's name we pray. Amen and amen.
And there you have it, folks. That's the end of this week's episode. If you want to listen to more of our other episodes, you can do so by going to ctknorthshore.tumblr.com. That's the main website for now. You can go ahead and watch our sermon in video mode if you'd like. We have a YouTube page as well as our Facebook and Twitter page. And until then, we'll see you guys next week.